26. Landfall at last. In no time all was movement aboard. The small boat was quickly dragged from the hold. Hasty preparations were made to send ashore a small party to explore the lie of the land. Everyone worked with a will. Infectious, happy laughter rang out, laughter of joy and relief. There was much backslapping and excited, nervous chatter. Laughs came easily. The ship was alive with agitated, cheery prattle. Even the thickening snow could not dampen their spirits. They had arrived. Their nightmare was over. "Father," said Justice, "Father, may Prudence and I come with you? We should so like to come, wouldn't we, Prudence?" He gave his sister a nudge. Yes, Father, please, please, we would. Please may we come." She tugged at her father's sleeve. "Please." Mr. Lovelace turned to his wife. "What do you think, Martha?" A twinkle shone in his eye. Mrs. Lovelace had an answering twinkle in her eye. "Well, if there's room, and if they promise to be good." Their father looked down at their upturned, pleading faces and smiled. He gently stroked their cheeks. "Yes, my dears, yes. I think there might just be room for two small bodies, if they are very good, of course. We shall be good, we promise." When all was ready, the exploring party was called to the side of the ship. The children soon clambered down the rope ladder, very slippery in the frost, lost their frozen grip, and fell into the bottom of the rowing boat as it bobbed on the sea. With some shuffling and careful movement, coupled with much playful banter from the others, they were soon safely installed at the stern of the little boat. "Are we ready?" "Aye." "Right then, let's cast off." The sailors took up their oars and pushed against the side of the rock-like Mayflower. Off they lurched. The sailors engaged the oars in the rowlocks, and soon were pulling with a hearty will towards the shore. None of the pilgrims in the rowing boat said a word. Many had a cold musket barrel clasped in their hands. The children spied the thin muzzles protruding above the shoulders of the men sitting in front of them. They stuck up through the mist of frosty breath. They and the black hats made strange, mysterious shapes in the gloom, shrouded in the fog. All that could be heard was the gentle, regular dipping of the oar blades in the sea, and the answering raucous squeal of the oars in the rowlocks. No one said a thing. A spirit of fearful anticipation had come over them. What dangers await us on the shore? It was not a time nor a place for comfort. The biting wind entered their very bones. The little company pulled their clothes tight around them and jerked up their collars high about their necks. Falling snow pitched upon them, melted and ran down their backs. The metal of the boat and muskets burned ice cold in their hands. They shivered and drew close to seek every last morsel of mutual warmth. The blizzard drove the sharp snow into their eyes. They instinctively screwed them up in self-defense. The little boat was steadily pulled through the thick water. The children turned to look back at the Mayflower. They found it difficult to recognize what they saw. Such a tiny ship had been their home for 9 long and dangerous weeks. They saw the rest of the pilgrims gathered at her side and leaning over, gazing out towards them. Many were slapping themselves to try to keep warm. They could see and hear the flapping, beating arms. Some were blowing on raw, chilblained hands. The children waved out. Hands were cupped to mouths, and cheery greetings dreamily floated back in a hollow echo across the still water. The snow flurry thickened yet further. The spectral ship began to lose its sharpness. Now they could only dimly make her out. She was a mere phantom coming and going into the snow flurry. In the few moments the children spent looking backwards, the whole of the voyage passed before their eyes once again. They saw the raging of the storms through which they had passed. They felt the tempest's terror. They heard the whining wind as it whistled and screamed through the rigging. Once again they heard the creaking of the timbers. They smelt the stale, sickening stench below. Master Reynolds and William Button appeared. Justice shivered.
"Are you very cold?"
whispered Prudence.
"No, not specially," he replied faintly.
"Just thinking. Just thinking of William Button."
"That's strange," said his sister. "That's very strange."
"So was I. So was I." They turned their eyes from the Mayflower with relief. They looked towards the land. It came as a shock to them to see how close the land had drawn since they had turned away. It loomed before them. The dark, forbidding woods rose steeply just above the shoreline, all shrouded white in fresh fallen snow. All looked dark within, somber and menacing. What strange wild creatures live there in those woods? Are there fierce, warlike savages living there? What will they be like? Will we need the muskets? Oh, what is waiting for us? What is waiting for us in this land? What unknown dangers are lurking there? The snow still fell silently, dampening all sound. The children pulled their blankets tighter and tighter around their arms and shoulders.
How cold it is!
But, fearful thought, what hardships will we have to suffer in the long, long winter ahead? It's snowing heavily now, and yet it's only November. How hard life will be! It will be certain to be very hard in the depths of the harsh winter ahead. How will we endure? Will we endure? But we are forgetting. God has been with us in the journey until now. Has he not? Will he desert us now? Surely not. No, he will go on with us. Yes, yes, of course he will. What have we to fear, really? If God is our support, and he is, who or what can harm us? The children were awakened with a jolt. The boat hit the pebbly beach. They fell forward with the impact and tumbled into the men in front of them. Willing hands grabbed Justice and lifted him out of the boat.
"Come on, young'un, come on, young'un."
His feet were instantly plunged into the icy water, up to his ankles. The numbing pain shot up his legs. His sister stood beside him. They grasped each other's hand. Together they stepped out of the ocean onto dry land. Continuing to hold each other's hand, they slowly walked a few faltering steps up the beach, away from the sea, and towards the dark woods. The snow fell gently upon them. They heard the muffled gabbling of the men making fast the boat behind them. They heard the pounding, incoming waves followed by the sucking scrabble of the receding water as it raced back over the pebbles. The children stopped and looked at each other.
"Justice, our adventures are over now," said Prudence quietly.
"Over?" replied Justice. "Over? I should think not.
Why, they've only just begun."